Yeah, I had a video like not long ago where I just completely forgot to sync us up at the start and just had to figure it out. And it's like, oh, so annoying.
Did you have to turn like your volume up loads so you could hear me in the background on your headphones? Because I have to do that sometimes. But yes, welcome one and all to the first Wiki Weekdays podcast of 2025. And the final piece of content myself and Lucas will be making in 2024. We're literally recording this on New Year's Eve, aren't we, Lucas? It's the last thing we're going to do. We're both going out straight after this. I'll both go for drinks with friends and family, right?
Yeah, and like, I literally have work all day tomorrow, so it's like, well, I couldn't stream it on New Year's Day, so we've got to do it New Year's Eve after I had to go into work thinking that I wouldn't be. So we're literally recording this like on the evening of New Year's Eve.
It's the most eve of New Year's Eve it's ever been. So in that vein, I've got a nice beer in front of me now, Luke. Do you bring a beverage?
I have got some rum and coke indeed.
At Great Minds Think Alike. For anyone unfamiliar with the Wiki Weekdays podcast, it's where I, your host for this week, and my good friend Lucas Holland.
Hello there.
Scale the lengths and breadths of the internet for a wiki entry on a topic we're interested in, and then go through it to see what kind of conversation arises as a result. And normally, we have a gimmick of which wiki won this week, where we invite you, our audience, to vote on our Discord, found link below, on which wiki you thought brought the best discussion. And we can start doing that again in 2025, because the Christmas period where we're recording schedule is kind of all over the place is now done with.
Yeah, and like, as I mentioned, I literally ended up in work today thinking I had my shift covered, didn't in the end, and was like, I'm sorry, Carl, we're going to have to record, like, in New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, well, as I said, the most eve of eves. But another gimmick that we can mention that will be coming back from next week's podcast onwards, which people can contribute content to, which is Pet of the Week, can be seen on screen right now if you're watching the video version. And last week, or the last podcast, because we didn't do one on Christmas Day, you put a picture up of your wonderful sausages, Lucas.
I did. My sausages were all over the screen.
The dual sausages. And I thought, well, I've not got a pet. Very sad. And I thought I could put a picture of, like, you know, my family pets from like when I was younger. But then I remember when I went home for Christmas, I picked up a family heirloom, which we've seen on screen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is a picture of me holding the only thing I inherited from my grandfather. You know, the Christmas period is a time to remember those that have gone. And my grandfather had in his house a portrait of his beloved pet dog.
Which I'm just going to put up a full screen version of.
So you don't need to do that, Lucas, because
You know what? You're way more than the full screen right now.
Okay, you don't need to, Lucas, because I've got it with me. Look how fucking look how fucking big this thing is. So this is a portrait of my granddad's dog, Shitface.
Excellent.
I have no idea what. And when I was younger, that was like, every time I went to, because I learned that word from that portrait, and my mum's like, so I'm going to take that down. I don't want them to know what that word is. It's like, well, that's the dog's name.
So like, just, I am curious, is its actual name Shitface?
Well, it's a nickname. Its real name is Jinky, as you can see there.
Oh, okay.
And its nickname was Shitface, but no one called it Jinky, everyone called it Shitface.
Yeah, because like, I've seen that plaque a couple of times with pictures and stuff and never actually noticed anything other than the word shitface.
Well, that's because your eye is drawn to our shitface. And I always found that so funny. That's the only thing I inherited from my granddad. And it's been sat at home in under the stairs because it's made of fucking wood. It weighs like a kilo.
Mm.
There was no way I didn't want to put on a wall in student flats.
Yes.
So I wanted to have it. Now I own my own place, which I bought in 2024. So let's celebrate that, Lucas. It's the year of end of the year. You've also, you know, moved into a place that you own with your partner, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, yeah.
So cheers to that. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to pick up Jinky. Pick up Shitface.
Doesn't really matter anymore because now I live in space, Carl.
I was going to say, like, we're recording this in 2024, but you're recording it in like 2047. You're recording it in like Blade Runner or something like that.
I am, yeah. I've finally been able to like actually just, I've not got green hair, and I've taped up all the blue bits on like the chair so it doesn't fuck around with the green screen as much.
Well, it's just not in the perfect
because it's like the Discord real time green screen, but
which isn't great. But Joe, with you being in the future, can you tell me something? Did Wiki Weekends reach any of its Patreon goals?
Well, I'm hoping that it did, but I'm so far in the future that YouTube no longer exists, Carl.
And both me and you are dead, right? We're working in like the Elon Musk Mars slave mines.
Yeah, that's where I'm streaming from. Stream from the Mars that Elon Musk is definitely going to take us to.
Yeah.
But yes, I cannot tell you whether we do hit our Patreon goals, but hopefully we do at some point. And Carl, I, for the sake of the audience, have for us to see the lovely, like, thermometer that I made, and I didn't colour in more of it, forgetting that we're a little bit closer to the first goal. So just imagine it's a little bit closer towards that first goal on that thermometer right there.
And what is that first goal? Because it says on mine, £250, and the description is a little bit small. What does it say, Lucas? Help me read it.
It says that we will have guest appearances on the WikiWeek Days podcast.
Yes, and we would like to, you know, compensate guests for their time. And also we think for this podcast that while I'd like to think me and you can carry the content for 2 hours, bring in a new perspective, a new person. Mm-hmm. Or just a new voice, or just bringing in, like, you know, one of our friends or someone we've worked with in the past to just, hey, do you want to talk about a wiki or something related to your work? Let's go.
And generally, we are, like, you know, trying to reach out to people, like, that is the plan, like, people that we've not even worked with before, just trying, like, you know, shoot our shot with people. So if there is any, like, people that, you know, people would like to see us shoot our shot with, then let us know down in the comments below or in the Discord.
Yeah, or if anyone happens to have, like, contact info for a creator you think would be a good fit or good vibe for this kind of content, let us know. Just mm-hmm. if anyone out there as well just happens to know, like, Sabrina Carpenter, just, like, you can drop it in the Discord. I mean,
yeah,
and get her
yeah,
on.
Yeah, sure. If we could get Sabrina fucking Carpenter on here. But, like, it is funny because it's gotten to a point now where celebrities have started to realise, like, the power, so to speak, of podcasts. Like, a lot of
podcasts, TikTok, social media. It's like, social media's always been like this the last 10 years at least, since it's been a thing.
I think podcast is being taken a lot more seriously by, like, the old heads, the old guard nowadays.
It's so all thanks to the Hawks who were like, right?
There's loads of people that I just recently saw, like, there was Anna Kendrick on, like, a podcast, and I'm sure it's a way bigger podcast than ours, but, like, I'm like, oh, Anna Kendrick's on one, and, like, John Oliver's on a podcast and stuff. And again, these are bigger creators than ours, but it's funny seeing, like, quite big name celebrities being on, like, some person I've never heard's on podcast.
Like, legacy podcast. Well, the one that got me is the presidential election, Kamala Harris, like, something that got revealed about her campaign, is that one of the most expensive, like, things she did, it costs, like, I think close to $500,000 to appear on a podcast, because the podcaster insisted on recreating their entire set in a hotel room.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Where's that
money
for us, Carl?
I'm just going to say, if you're a podcaster, you need a fucking microphone. Right? But whatever, right? It's a technology that people are more interested in. One of the potential guests that we've got, I've got, you know, just feelers out for, and I've been in mm-hmm. contact with. So, yeah, they've been making podcasts since before podcasts were really a thing. So maybe they can tell us about the history of podcasting.
Are you going to tease who it is? Like, are you going to let us know?
Well, we've worked with them in the past.
Have we?
Yes. They've been making content for way longer than we have. But it's fine. Lucas, what else we got there?
Are we getting Simon Whistler on here, Carl?
No, I've been making content longer than he has.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, it does say here, as you can see on our more detailed little description here, just like, yeah, some get new faces on the WikiWeek Days podcast, and the aim is to have one or more guests per month. Like, we're trying to obviously just be a bit more vague because we've got to work around other people's availabilities, how many people are actually fucking interested in being on WikiWeek Days.
How many people reach back out, whether or not, figuring out the format as well. Mm-hmm. So the dueling wikis format works quite well. Like, we get roughly 45 minutes a piece to talk about, I think, when you've introduced a third person
into
that mix.
Sometimes an hour and a half each, you know, depending on
the
mood.
I was trying to be conservative.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the time it tends to stray a little bit further than we'd like, but we're probably going to have to keep, like, a nice, tight schedule today because, you know, we've literally got New Year's Eve plans.
If at some point during this podcast you hear in the background, 7, 6, 5, me and Lucas sprint out of the room.
Oh, but our next goal on our Patreon, Carl, we've got £500, is just to record in person because, hey, like, trains and food costs and all that jazz, they add up.
People don't... So I'm just going to right now, I've got, like, the app that I can use to buy some train tickets. So, Lucas, don't tell me where you live, but where would I have to get a train?
You'd be going Liverpool Lime Street, right?
So Liverpool Lime Street, and I'm going from Sheffield Central. So Liverpool Lime Street. There we go. So I'm going to get a ticket to Liverpool Lime Street. Name a day in January.
We'll go with my birthday, January 21st. Let's dox myself a bit more.
So we're going to go for January. And obviously, I'd have to get back, right?
And let's go with my credit card details as well, which is 01.
So we're going to go for January 21st, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I need to come back.
And you need to get a return, yeah.
So let's get an open return, which gives me freedom to come back in case anything messes up because we have to travel to and from. So mm-hmm. if I want to get an open return to Liverpool Lime Street, plus I've got to get another train to get to where you actually are. Then we've got to pay for, like, you know, I've got to buy food, all that good stuff. Just to get a train ticket to where you are is £46.30.
And that's in advance.
That's in advance. So right, like, away, that's £50 gone just to get there.
Mm-hmm. Then like another tenner on extra like train travel and then food and drink and whatever, and it all adds up very quickly. So just
it's
like, yeah,
close and easy, like, and obviously the same way for you to come to my end as well. It's like, it's easy or close to £150-200 in expenses.
All in all,
all in all, in expenses.
So yeah, that, like, we just like to justify that a little bit because we know that that's, I was like, well, that must be dead easy. It's like we're literally hours away from one another, and like, trains are a ball ache, and then, oh god, yeah, extra costs.
Not to mention as well,
stuff.
The content is actually worse in quality when recording in person.
Yeah, because we've got it all so figured out doing it remotely, and we don't have to deal with like the
echo
in the room as much, and like the audio doesn't need to be like shared across two people or like one microphone, two persons, where like you've got to be the right volume and distance away and stuff, and just, yeah. It literally does make the content worse in one way, but it also gives us the chance to have a bit more energy in the room, right?
Well, the thing is, I'm you know, a big fan of like transparency in regards to stuff like this. So I just feel for our audience thinking, well, meeting up, recording in person sounds like a fairly simple process. It's like, even if we drove, it's still going to cost like £40 just in fuel. Mm-hmm. Then you got to pay parking. If you wanted to park in Sheffield, parking for 2 days in Sheffield is like close to £30-40.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Carl, we've got to move on because we've got to eventually get to the actual podcast here.
We do, yes.
So we would also have a Patreon-exclusive monthly podcast for £750. And that all of these costs are all talking monthly, of course. Like, that's how Patreon generally works. But yeah, just it would be just a Patreon-exclusive podcast and probably a bit more like just... I think the vibe that we've settled on would be it's a more like casual catch-up conversational podcast of like kind of catch-up with us two for the month.
Yeah, more like inside baseball. So it'd be rather than like the strictly related to the content that we do, it'd be more closer to just myself and you revealing like behind-the-scenes information, answering fans' questions, that sort of thing.
Like,
revealing
like
potential plans.
And trying to just make a bit more of like... A community-sided podcast that, like, specifically our Patreon members would hopefully be more interested in, like, you know, presumably the people on the Patreon are a bit more interested in us personally than, like,
yes,
the
and more invested in us as people, our success, our ideas, plans for the future, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed you do. And then moving on, £1,000 is, like, kind of our big one, Carl.
Yes, and that'll be the launch of a gaming channel. And things to keep in mind is that all these costs just split them straight down the middle between myself and Lucas. Mm. And then after that, knock about 25% off for taxes, right? Because that's about how much we're putting aside for taxes and expenses. And we've decided that combined with channel income, split between two of us, is enough for us to justify making Wiki Weekends a full-time gig.
Or close to.
Close to a full-time gig, which would allow us to free up about 2 or 3 extra days of time. Because we wouldn't have to, or we wouldn't necessarily be focusing on the other things like side jobs or side gigs to supplement the income from Wiki Weekends, and we could use that time to create an entire second channel related to gaming content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, just, I mean, have you got, I think we've got a bit of a more detailed thing here of like launching a new gaming channel with weekly Let's Plays. That's the idea, is to have like a Let's Play from Carl and a Let's Play from me each week. Like one episode each week, and then an ongoing playthrough, I'd say, from Carl, an ongoing playthrough from me, and then just kind of like leaning into the next one. For £1,500 a month, we'd be then making extra monthly gaming videos, so you'd get 2 extra videos a month. That's just different formats and series, which those kind of ones are ones where it's going to be a bit more like kind of focused and edited down a little bit, whereas obviously Let's Plays are going to be more kind of traditional, just like we record for a few hours and chop it up.
Think of a Let's Play as a 40-hour podcast about one specific game.
Yes.
And the other stuff we'd like to make is more focused content on a particular topic. For example, Fishing Fridays is one of the ideas we had of us finding old games with fishing mini games in them and playing mm-hmm. through those. Or you had like your Pokedex series, yes?
Yeah, yeah. Specifically, Pokedex entries, I called it, but based on like trying to actually use science to break down how like Pokedex entries make Pokemon terrifying. Like the first one I ever kind of made a video on was why Arcanine is terrifying. Of just, well, it turns out it's like 6 foot tall and like weighs about 50 kilos and can run at like an average of 400 miles an hour or something like that. It was years ago that I made the video, but basically it just means it can hit you with the equivalent force to like basically obliterate you on contact.
Yeah, and then one of the other ideas I had was Sliding Difficulty, which is a series delving into the nitty-gritty of how specific difficulties in video games work. So we all know, for example, like a game will have like easy, medium, hard, extra hard, master difficulty or what have you. But what do those difficulties actually do? What's the difference? What are the things you might not notice? What are all the hidden things that change that the game doesn't tell you when you select one of those difficulties? It'd be delving into that, discussing it. And it's just, it's fun to do, but it's a ball ache to research and a pain in the ass to make. And
just a nice little opportunity to plug something that I'm going to be putting out on like my own YouTube channel, Legend of Kanto. Ooh. I'm just going to put up my Mario Party like stream from last night, where I did a Mario Party like New Year's party special, just me versus three master difficulty CPUs on Mario Party Jamboree.
See, that's another idea I've had as well of trying to beat like the hardest AI teaming up.
Right, like, yeah.
Is our combined gaming prowess enough to beat, for example, like a level 9 CPU?
Minor spoilers for how wild it gets, but like it was so down to the bone that any one of the four of us could have won just with bonus stars at the end.
Which is how Mario Party should be, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a fucking roller coaster, I'll tell you that.
Yes, and then the final tier we have is 2,000, which would be roughly like an extra, like, you know, £800 each for us, which would be enough for us to consider this to be our full-time job, and basically create Wiki Weekends content and the gaming channel content full-time. And what we'd like to do for that is a gaming book club, which would involve what, Lucas?
Well, as the image you can see now is describing, it has review or discussion podcasts based on games that we finish, and then obviously you can have the ability to play at the same time we're planning on playing, and then send in like questions and comments that we can then interact with and make it a more community-focused idea and podcast, because, yeah, it's like, it'll eventually come down to Carl and Lucas finish a game and do a podcast on it, but other people can feel free to, like, you know, we'll let people know what the gaming the game is in advance, so people can, like, you know, get playing themselves. And obviously it's just we haven't set like a defined amount that we will do, like once per month might end up being a bit much, but it just depends on the game, because some games can take 5 hours, some games can take 100. So
yes,
kind of, you know, we want to give ourselves and other people enough time to be able to play each game.
We'd of course encourage like interaction and suggestions for all of these. And I'm guessing if we got to the point where we could make this our full-time job, doing something like, hey, creating a thing in our Discord, for example, of like making notes on the game as we go along, let people discuss in real time how we're experiencing the game.
Yeah, it'd be good like just put, you know, a new channel on the Discord specifically revolving around like the gaming book club, where everyone can, like, as they're playing through, start just putting in like notes and having discussions around different parts of the game and stuff. Yeah.
And something we discussed in relation to that is, if we got to that point with the channel, presumably at that point we'd have enough spare money to start throwing a bit around for our audience. And we did suggest doing like giveaways, whatever game it is we end up playing, so that a member of our audience once per month who's on Patreon will get a copy of that game on whatever platform they're on to play it along with us. And we'll leave it, like, obviously.
And again, the love. That would be something that's like probably more like on the Patreon side, so that A, it's a cool way to, like, you know, reward people for supporting us, and B, just like it then avoids us trying to like do that weird YouTuber thing of like, I'm gonna get subscribers by just promising giveaways.
Like send this random YouTuber your address.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it'd all be, it wouldn't be like physical games, it'd all be digital codes anyway, so that we can avoid all of that.
Unless someone wanted the physical copy, I suppose. I've done that before on a stream a few years ago.
Well, I mean, we don't necessarily have to say that we would never send a physical, but it just means that people don't have to wait, people don't have to give them our addresses, yep. We avoid any, like, postage costs for, like, people abroad. Obviously, digital codes make things a lot easier, but yeah.
These are all things that can be decided as and when they become relevant, but yeah, there are plans. Hopefully, there are plans for 2025.
Yeah, so just sorry that that was a bit of a spiel and a long plug for everyone, but... You know, I'll make sure to try and remember to put in chapters on this one to make sure that we can get straight to the wiki if you don't want that discussion.
It's a plug for our stuff. And if you're listening to it for the wiki entries, then surely you want the channel to grow and succeed and go on to bigger and better things and allow us to dedicate more of our time and resources and energy to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would hope so. And yeah, thank you to everyone who does support us and... Thank you, everyone, you know, just in general for watching and listening, and we do always appreciate it.
Yes.
Just remember that, like, you know, if you can't afford to throw money our way, like, we still want to welcome everyone to the channel and just thank everyone for just watching and supporting the content in that fashion.
Yes. Shitface says thank you.
Shitface does say thank you. As the Cagnorix.
Yes. What wiki have you brought for us, though, my friend?
Well, Carl, speaking of gaming... I brought a wiki that is like kind of maybe not necessarily what I think is like game of the year over the last year, but what I would classify as kind of Luke's nicest surprise of video games in 2024.
This is something I would like to do as well, because I hate reviews of games always come down to like, what's the best game of the year? Why do they never do what's like the biggest guilty pleasure of the year?
Yeah.
Why don't we do like what is like the best value for money of the year? Like what was the game where you had the most fun this year?
Well, I mean, best value for money would go for fucking Balatro.
Like £2, right? And it just consumed your
I think it's like £10 or something, but I've got it on Switch and on mobile. So no matter how portable I want to get, like every time I'm like, I've got a commute to work now. I'm not just working at home. So when I do commute, I'm like, okay, cool, that's 20 minutes on the train for Latro time, baby.
That's 20 minutes of Latro time.
Let's go. I've been scared a couple of times of like, I got really into Balatro last week on the train home. Was like, oh shit, what station am I at? Have I missed my stop?
That's a rough one. But so what's the game you brought for us to discuss then? This is, you said it's your surprise of the year?
My nicest surprise of the year, because this was a game that I like kind of had heard one or two people be excited about an announcement, but like many of us, this game was dropped on us, and no one really saw it coming, Carl.
Is it Helldivers?
It is Helldivers 2.
Didn't we already do one on Helldivers?
I don't care, Carl. This is my New Year's treat. I knew that this would be a shorter one. I just wanted an excuse for both of us to have a bit of a discussion about Helldivers 2 again, because I fucking love it. Well, Helldivers, all of you can shut the fuck up, I'm doing it again.
Well, Helldivers 2, for me, it was like jumping back into the days of playing Halo 3, by which I mean it was like one of the first times in a long time I can remember getting excited to play a game with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, I remember when just we all got it, and just I was encouraged to buy it by seeing a single GIF of just a guy pinwheeling through the air, firing a rocket launcher at like a building size insect, while just Yuri Lowenthal was like, my leg! And just I remember like, once we played it, it's like we played till like 2 a.m. the day we got it, just diving downstairs, because Ragnar was fucking awesome.
It's really funny because, like, you say that, and I know what our personal life has been lately. Of just like, Carl's like, oh yeah, Helldivers 2 is the first time I've been excited to play a game with friends in a while. And the last, like, what, 3 weeks, almost every night, Carl's been like, anyone up for some Marvel Rivals?
Well, that's like the next game, right? But that came out later than Helldivers. And we're talking about Helldivers today and what Marvel Rivals. We're not talking about an abnormally thick squirrel girl. Also as well, if you look like Squirrel Girl, you can also feel free to message on Discord.
Message Carl on Discord.
Yeah.
Oh dear. If you've got that like Squirrel Girl cosplay in the works from Marvel Rivals, let Carl know.
Just like based on a real person. It's like based, there's a real person did the modeling for it, and they got like 40,000 followers in like an hour after.
That physique does not exist.
It does. And it's like there's someone served as a physical model.
Oh my god.
Good for them.
Yeah.
How many squats did they do? Enough.
How many times have you tried sliding into those DMs yet, Carl?
I'm not like that.
Helldivers 2 is a 2024 cooperative third-person shooter game developed by Arrowhead Game Studios, published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for the PlayStation 5 and Windows. That means we've covered the wiki, so I can just talk about Helldivers.
I think the thing about Helldivers that makes it great is that 95% of people immediately quote-unquote get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't get really mad about the fact that they don't get it and feel like... When everyone's like, no, it's all for Super Earth. It's like, stop fucking talking like that. That sounds
for
like...
diplomacy!
That sounds like someone who doesn't respect diplomacy and democracy. Get them!
I really appreciated the trailer for like the latest update where they added the new alien race. Right?
It's like, perfect.
It was so good of like, well... all of these civilians have had their minds taken over. That means that their freedom has been taken away, and we're gonna get their freedom back. And it just like smash cuts them, running them all over with a car and a turret. It's like great.
It's more as well when the dude turned up, like the actor who played, who's the physical model for like the guy at the very start, who's like, sweet liberty, no! Like he turned up, and the entire audience at the game was lost their shit. It's like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
And he turned up in the full Helldivers outfit.
In the actual Helldivers outfit.
And he does that like the salute, and everyone in the audience is doing the salute, right? It's the Helldivers salute.
And as you say, like Helldivers, like Helldivers 2, more specifically, is just one of those games where it's like all year long, I've been like, yeah, but I could play more Helldivers. Like, even when we were playing Marvel Rivals, we had a couple of losses, and I was like, yeah, but I'd be down for some Helldivers,
guys. Just put Helldivers on and just go bomb some fucking some bugs back to the Stone Age.
Because
the thing about playing Helldivers was once you get into it, like you're fully in.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the thing about you fully start role-playing as like just for democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few games where I don't think I've ever had a game where people might care about friendly fire. Because I play like a lot of Black Ops, because like my thing, my biggest shame is playing Call of Duty. And sometimes I play like Search and Destroy, and you're like, you accidentally shotgun your teammate in the back of the head, and you're like, for fuck's sake. Because that's it, I now need to get betrayed and kicked out of the game. Yeah. Doing Helldivers, it's like, oh, no worries, I'd have done it too. It's like, do you know what? I shouldn't have got in the fucking way of freedom.
Like, how often when you get dropped in do you try and look for one of your teammates to squish on the pod, right?
You do it every time. It's this the law, right?
Yeah. And one of my favourite things that like I keep accidentally friendly firing myself with is I always equip like the thermite grenades since they released them. And oh, you know, really good, Carl, yeah. At the end of each mission, if we get extracted... I'm there, and I throw a couple of thermite onto, like, the carrier as it's about to take off and then jump in. But the amount of times I've done it and then got too excited throwing thermites and then burnt myself alive on the way in to get evacuated.
Well, like the thing is, like, obviously, the last thing you do before you escape it is just drop down all of your ordnances and get onto the ship. Mm-hmm. It's funny just to see, like, the landing
like, throw
area.
Like the 500 kilo bomb at your feet and then jump in the shuttlecraft, right?
Like some of the best like gaming modes I've had this year. It's like the time where they released the day they released like the flying laser enemies.
Yeah.
And they accidentally like put the number for them to spawn at like 10 too high. And the first time they appeared in the game, there was like 50 in the sky. I just remember to our mutual friend Charlie, like, Charlie, I don't think democracy's going to get us out of this one. And just like ran out with a pistol, like, ah! So I just threw like the 500 kilo bomb at my own feet.
There was that moment we played where you'd both played a little bit in between like when I'd been able to join in. And you got to try out like that new, like, rocket that you basically like shoot into the air.
The airburst launcher, that doesn't work.
The airburst launcher, is that what it's called?
The team killer.
And yeah, because you equipped it, and our friend was like, Carl, just remember to like aim it right high into the sky this time, please. And you're like, yeah, don't worry. And then you died like 2 minutes later, and I picked it up, and I was like, oh, what does this do? Immediately killed us all. It's like, oh,
you know what, though? For democracy.
It was. Oh, and it's just, it has like been such a pleasant gaming experience because it just feels fun, right? And it's been so long since, like, even playing Marvel Rivals, I've been enjoying like the chance to play with you and our friends and stuff, but
also to see a game where it's got literally infinite money behind it is just, just when you see something, it's like, this is what infinite money burning on screen looks like, right? This is what China money looks like. And it looks like just Black Widow's immaculately sculpted ass.
Just missing every single sign.
Well, I still remember I picked Black Widow to try her out, and our mutual friend just went, oh my God. And his character model just stood behind mine. I don't think I've seen Black Widow's model. How much did they spend on this?
But playing that game is nice to play with yous, but it's still a long process of learning the characters and losing a lot and stuff. Whereas in Helldivers, if you lose, it's kind of just a laugh because you just get overwhelmed by a bunch of like bugs or something and then just come in, the democracy cannot help you, and it's just a laugh either way.
I also appreciate their philosophy towards balancing and what they give you as a player, because you know, if this was like Ubisoft presents Helldivers 2, you know that you would not have the ability to drop 500 kilo bombs all at the same time. That would be an ability you have to earn in gameplay, and it'd be something you'd unlock.
I mean, obviously, it is something that you unlock in Helldivers, but you just unlock it by playing, right?
Yeah. But the fact they went, no, fuck it. Just everyone can throw down just the. You can all throw down the orbital laser if you want and just turn it into the fucking rave cave.
Yeah.
You don't care how stupid it looks. Do it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of, do you remember like Titanfall 2 was in beta? And inexplicably for Titanfall 2, Lucas, in Titanfall, what do you think is the thing that's most fun?
No, it's getting in the Titan, right?
It's getting the Titan, right? It's literally the title of the game is calling down your Titan. Mm-hmm. They toyed with making the Titan a kill streak. So the only way to earn a Titan in the beta was to get on a kill streak. So the only time you could be in a Titan is if you were already winning. And do you know what feels really fucking unfun? Getting your ass beat by someone who's clearly better than you, and now they're a robot who's 18 feet tall with a rocket launcher.
A giant mech, like, grabbing and squishing you instead.
So I contend that kill streaks are one of the worst things to happen to the shooter genre, because that's why I've enjoyed playing Rivals so much, of like the only differential is skill. There's nothing more frustrating than playing like Call of Duty, like the older ones. Black Ops 6, it's really difficult to call in kill streaks now, and they're easy to shoot down. But back in the day, it's just, oh, this person's got 11 kills in a row, so they're already better than me. Mm-hmm. What do they have now? Oh, they've got chopper gunners, or the entire field is covered in dogs.
Yeah.
Great. And see, what was getting my ass beat hard enough already?
Like, that's the thing, is in a game like Rivals or Titanfall or something, you always have like some equivalent of like an ultimate, right? Or a super, or whatever the game calls it. I play a lot of Destiny 2, you know, same thing with that. Like
you can
get your
quicker.
Super ability quicker if you're a good player. So that does give you an advantage, but it doesn't feel so unfair because you know that like a little bit later than them, you're going to get one too.
Yeah. Whereas in like I said, like Call of Duty, if you're not very good at that game, you were never going to get a chopper gunner.
Like, you're never going to get like past a fucking UAV, right?
Yeah, you were never going to get a chopper gunner.
I'm not particularly great at staying alive because I generally don't go for like kill streaks. I go for like running, gun, charging, try and get a couple of cool kills and die.
Yeah,
like, that's kind of my playstyle. My vibe is like a bit and reckless and a bit careless, and that's how I enjoy playing. But that meant that I pretty much always just fucking equipped like UAV as my kill streak because I knew I wasn't going to get to like choppers and shit.
Whereas in something like Helldivers, again, they could have very easily, and you can see another version of that game where the coolest, biggest explosive things are locked behind either being level 500, a battle pass where you put like real money into it, or it would be whoever has gotten the most kills, which would disincentivize multiple different ways of playing. So all it would incentivize people to do is min-max as much as they could out of it, whereas the way it is now, like, no, just everyone can spawn in with the most powerful explosive they want and call it in as much as they want.
And there is a bit of leveling up to do, but it's not, like, egregious, right?
No.
And you still have fun with a lot of the base weaponry and perks and stuff along the way. And
like, one of the best things in the game is like the literal first thing you unlock, and it's just the orbital barrage. It's the literal first thing you get. It's one of the strongest things you can do.
I like the things like the guard dog and the expendable anti-tank and stuff like that. They're things that I equip all the time, and the jump pack, and they're like, what, within the first 10 levels, all of those items you can unlock, which not is much, just, really easy up. To get the first 10 levels.
Your teammates can call in any weapon that you've not unlocked, and you can use it instead.
Yes, yeah, true. The amount of times when like I hadn't unlocked like the laser guard dog rover yet.
So, oh, I'll just call one in, you can use it, go for it.
Yeah, our friend would just be like, well, I've still got mine, I'll just call one in for you.
Yeah, it's such a great philosophy towards fun. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, like, when you listen to the developers talk, and it's like, for example, oh, they had a bunch of people like, remove fucking friendly fire, and I'm like, no, it's funny.
Yeah, and like, what, Arrowhead Games, like, that's their entire mantra, is being able to fuck around with your friends, is like, they made Helldivers 1 and 2 and Magicka 1 and 2, and all four of those games thrive off the frenzy of being able to kill your friends accidentally.
Yes, and how funny it can be to, like, accidentally... Like, for example, like, when you just, I was running along, like, don't worry, guys, I've got the 500-kilo bomb. Get knocked on my ass.
Yeah, you just get, like, knocked by a little bug that you didn't see come in, and then it's
and
like,
drop
oh,
the 500-kilo bomb on the floor. So, oh, shit!
I think we had it once where, like... You dropped like an airstrike or something because you got knocked over,
yeah.
Which then caused me to get hit by the airstrike, but drop not fully. Airstrike. But I dropped my stratagem on the floor, which was then like another barrage coming in, or like a napalm strike or something.
All Helldivers always confirmed to me is that games that don't put Ragdoll in are fucking cowards, because Ragdoll is the funniest shit in the world.
It's the greatest. I was about to say the best and the greatest, but it is, yeah.
Ragdoll's incredible. The fact that in Helldivers, it's so funny. The only thing that's funnier is the Euphoria engine, but I know it breaks games and it's owned by some company who don't license it out, but just, I don't think I've laughed as hard playing a game in a while than when we were playing Helldivers and just getting pinwheeled into the atmosphere at 1,000 RPM while firing a machine gun. My character's like, sweet liberty, no!
And obviously, I know there's going to be people saying like, oh, you're so positive on the game, and like, there
just
has been problems.
Great.
And like, yeah, I get that there's been like some, you know, missteps either by PlayStation as a publisher or by developer himself.
I'm not
but
gonna,
like
I'm,
even the developers have made mistakes along the way, and they are learning. But like, say for example, the most recent like in quotes controversy was like the price of the Killzone stuff, the Killzone crossover stuff, and it was like dropped in two batches, and overall it costs like £20 to get it all or something, and people were mad and saying that it was overpriced. And I would argue, A, most games fucking charge you $20 for what, £20 for
they
one skin in like Fortnite or something, so it wasn't that ridiculous. But B, you can earn it just by playing.
Yeah,
like you can earn that premium currency in game by just doing missions.
It's like this is certainly a thing that you can complain about, but your energy will probably be better directed towards Call of Duty's right there. Call of Duty's putting like AI shit in a battle pass that they charge you $60 for,
and then go like £40 per skin or whatever it is for the premium super skins and shit.
It's like people moaning about Marvel Rivals, right? Of like, oh, the skins cost too much. It's like every character is free.
Yeah.
The entire game is there for free. Go yell at Overwatch.
And guess what? If you don't want to buy the skin, like, if you think that's too much, vote with your wallet. Don't
buy it. That's
always
the thing. It's the worst, and I hate saying that because it sounds like so patronizing, but you really do need to hear it. Of just, don't fucking buy it.
If you think that that's a ridiculous price, do not fucking buy it then.
And also, in Helldivers, if you see someone wearing it, just shoot them.
Yeah.
Just shoot them.
And, like, literally,
a real citizen would not be spending money like that.
Like, they heard the feedback and actually did something about it. So, like, people who sit there and go, oh, I bought it because, like, they're never going to listen anyway. If you don't buy it and you make a message and, like, you know, actually, as a community, decry about it and talk about it, then, yeah, they will do something about it.
Here's the way it's over. When you make those complaints... Just a word of advice. If your complaint is, the summary of your complaint is a death threat or some combination of slurs,
obviously when it gets to like hate speech and stuff, like,
and that's the problem, right? It's why we don't really engage with that sort of thing, because the moment that you do, you are, however unintentionally, grouping yourself in with people who think racial slurs count as genuine criticism.
Well, it's the exact thing we've said before about when Pokemon Sword and Shield came out, right? Or were coming out, and they revealed not every single Pokemon is going to be available in the game. There's going to be like a selection of roughly, I think it was about half of the available Pokemon out of like the 900 something Pokemon that are currently available. About half of them were going to be in the base game, and I thought, well, that's really shit. I don't like that. That is shit, right? But then I immediately turned all the way around and went against the community backlash, because the community backlash immediately was like, well, let's send death threats to people at games.
Immediately
turns
vitriolic,
shit
right?
Like this.
And it doesn't mean we're on the side of a company. It means that we saw this and went, I'm just going to go outside.
Yeah, I'm going to go touch some grass.
Yeah.
This nice space grass behind me. It's like, touch some of that.
It's like the energy that's been directed towards, like, I can see being annoyed about this, but the fact that you're so annoyed is beyond anything.
It's beyond reasonable, right?
And I don't want to be lumped in with you, so I'm not going to engage with this.
Yeah, it's 100% that. It gets to a certain point where it's like, no, this is not a big enough deal for me to be in the same room as these assholes.
Yeah.
Like, complaining about the same shit and actually being put in, tarred with the same brush.
Do you know what it's like? It's like when people... Do you know if you complain, like, say, oh, my burger's cold at a restaurant. And you complain. And it's like... But so, like, you can complain, but it's not a big enough deal where you don't give enough of a shit to go up and complain. But then when you do, you see someone screaming at the manager and you think... I don't want to be seen to be, even though I'm not going to be as mean and as an asshole-ish as them, I just don't want to be seen doing the same thing.
And speaking of someone who, like, literally once again now works in a restaurant, I 100% get where you're coming from, but I would really always rather someone complain in a reasonable way and me be able to sort out the problem than them go away going, well, that was a shit experience and I wasted my money.
Yes, and that's it's the frustration with it of... Oh, do you know what a better comparison is? Sorry, I'm drinking a pint. I remember a story. My friend hates when I tell this story, so I'm going to tell it. And it was, we were in a bar, just ordered a pint. I think it was a pint of stout, actually. And when it came out, like, there was a bit too much head on the stout.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit too much. Like, it was not the greatest pour, but the bar was fairly busy. And it was like 11:30 at night, and they shut in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't care enough to complain. I'm like, well, no, you should. No, you should. I'm like, no, I don't want to complain. But then, no, you have to. You should. And I'm like, mate, I don't. It's my pint. It's my money. I don't want to complain. I don't want to cause a fuss. Like, they said, no, you should complain. And he like clicked. And I, you know, the reason he hates this story is because when he did that, the barman looked at him and went, no, no, you'd be a prick about it.
Yeah.
And just he got so mad at the barman. I'm like, no, I'm on the barman's side. You were being a prick about it.
Yeah. The moment you fucking click at a person.
It's like, nobody here, we were all like, it was not a big problem, but you made it out to be such a huge fucking, a way bigger problem than it was.
And that's I think, like, the best part of, like, the wording that you used there was, like, don't be an asshole about it. Yeah. It's like, complaining that something is wrong is not being an asshole.
No.
Like, if you go out and you pay for something, you expect it to, like, be what you expected and to have a nice experience, right? But, like, the moment you're a prick about it, then it's a, well, then you've gone too far. And as, you know, somebody who, like, is on the other side of it, then guess what? They're going to be a prick back.
And then it's also the thing, it's like I said, just, I guess the ultimate point is sometimes, even if the thing does bother me, it doesn't bother me enough to get as offended or upset about it as other people do.
And that's the thing, right?
And seeing
like
how upset and offended
they
are makes me realise it's not actually... It's an even smaller deal than I thought it was because, holy shit.
And, like, bringing it back around to the discussion about Helldivers is, like, people kicked off about this recent Killzone thing.
The fact it was Killzone, why so fuck? Who gives a fuck about hell?
But like, because the worst part is, it was people getting mad that they had to pay money to dress up as space Nazis in a game where, like, every costume is you dressing up as a space Nazi. Because guess what? Maybe that's what the humans are in that game.
Is that as well one of the funniest things that people don't get, that it's satire?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, the universe of Helldivers looks great. It's like the opening cutscene is the man's family being torn apart by space bugs.
And like, obviously, the like, opening people cutscene would be then, is so the therefore that means that the humans were in the right? And we should murder every single bug. And it's like, well, one of the two races that were in the game to begin with were the automatons who humanity created.
Yeah.
They created their own problem and then I was like, oh no, sweet liberty, we've got to like destroy them all for freedom.
Also, I think it's like the acronym for what the valuable resource that the bugs drop, that humans farm, is oil backwards.
Oh, right, okay.
I wonder if there's any messaging there about going and obliterating an entire
race of bugs just for one resource that's analogous to oil, yeah. It's like, maybe we aren't the good guys. It's that timeless meme, isn't it? Of like,
yeah. Are we the baddies?
Mitchell and Weblock thing of like, are we the baddies?
Well, it's the classic, right? It's the same, we had the same thing we talked about Starship Troopers of people, mm-hmm. but the bugs are bad. And he goes, well, they're animals. Either they're animals and what they're doing is just instinctual, and the fact that you are treating them like an enemy is weird.
Yep.
Or they're sentient and diplomacy is an option.
Yep. You can't have it both ways, right?
You can't, yeah. But obviously, like,
In Starship Troopers, the humans do have it both ways because the propaganda, right?
Yeah. Like, and one of the hallmarks of propaganda is never having a consistent message because you want people to constantly be questioning themselves.
Well, as I joked about earlier, it's like they hit the tone so well in such a satirical, over-the-top way with the Helldivers is like, we must defend these people's freedoms as it shows you murdering them all.
Yeah, and the fact that like, they're called the Voteless.
It's the classic thing of like, just use words like democracy and freedom and like liberty, and then all of a sudden like whatever you do is justified because it's like, for your freedoms.
Lucas, are you aware of something called the Patriot Act?
It's like, by trying to keep everybody safe, you make nobody safe, right?
Exactly. It's like, well, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. It's like, but what about if I don't want the government to just look at my shit?
Yeah, what about if I do not want every single action I ever take to be monitored?
Lucas, what have you got to hide? Do you hate freedom?
I've got to hide Squirrel Girl Carl. There's so much of her.
What do you not want us to know? What are you hiding? Are you a terrorist?
Just, I want to hide that booty from the president.
That's what it is. That's how they do it. It's done masterfully with Helldivers. And the fact people don't get it, presumably to Arrowhead, is a source of both frustration and hilarity, depending
and
on how.
And probably great joy, right?
Yeah, yeah. They probably laugh so much when they see people not getting that it's a satire of capitalism when one of the upgrades you can buy is sawing off a pilot's legs to make more room for bombs. It's like, we can make the planes more efficient by cutting the pilot's legs off, which gives us more room for bombs.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, we can remove the anti-fire stuff from the ship and all the safety equipment to make it faster. Yeah. It's not like Amazon.
Well, it truly is. And like, we made the reference to Warhammer when talking about Helldivers as well. Of like,
even funnier.
Like, there's just so many humans that like they're just that expendable. Is it just easier to send out an endless amount of disposable Helldivers than it is to think of anything else that could work? Because it's just the cheapest, easiest resource we have.
It's like Helldivers, it's like it should become immediately obvious that the universe is satirical when you have to send a guy with a machine gun to drop a thing on the floor when you have something in orbit that can pinpoint accurate obliterate a city block sized part of the world. Yeah. Why do you need a dude? It's like you mentioned, like the Warhammer universe, where just send a guy. Why don't they build a pipe? Because a pipe costs resources. Have you any idea how many guys we've got?
Yeah. We've got less metal than we do people.
Yeah.
Send the people. And I find it very ironic talking about Starship Troopers that a game for Starship Troopers came out in 2024 also, and they must have like
been so
absolutely
mad.
Yeah, just been fucking so violently upset when Helldivers blew up of like, we've got to announce this game in like 3 months.
The problem with the Starship Troopers game as well is they don't lean hard enough into the satirical elements because it draws more from
the
graphic novels and the book than it does the film.
Mm.
As we discussed in our Starship Troopers episode, the people who like the graphic novel and the book, even though the graphic novel is slightly satirical, the book is 100% not. They don't like the film makes fun of it.
It's kind of weird that they're using the film
designs.
Stars to like, because like, is Casper Van Dien? Did you say?
You I'm going to tell you something for free, Lucas. Like, actually, no, I'm going to tell you something for I'll tell you something for $1. Casper Van Dien is probably really cheap to get.
Oh yeah,
he's probably real cheap.
There's probably a lot of Casper Van Dien to go around when like I have not seen him in anything but Starship Troopers ever.
Exactly.
But like, it is funny that they're using him to promote like a game that is based more on the book than the film. But the one cool thing that I saw about that game, I've not played that game because I guess what, I had Helldivers.
Yeah.
And that was just, we've got Helldivers at home, right?
Even though Helldivers is, it's actually impressive that they're better than the thing they're based on.
Like, Helldivers is essentially trying to be Starship Troopers, and then Starship Troopers came out and isn't as good as Helldivers.
It's like someone stealing your identity and winning like a world's biggest dick competition or something like that, right? It's like, well, no, I don't want to say they stole my identity, because then I've got, well, my dick's not that big.
But
right?
Like, they did have some cool ideas, because like, one of the pieces of tech they've got in the game is that like, all of the corpses stick around, and
yes,
then the bugs use those corpses as like terrain to then, you know, climb up barriers
just,
and stuff like you
like,
see in the film.
But you know what they don't have, though? They don't have the sharp satirical eye of Paul Verhoeven.
No, and also it seemingly doesn't have the ability to like accidentally drop a stratagem on your friend's feet.
Even though that is 100% canon to the Starship Troopers universe.
Yeah. The literal training montage that they have where like someone accidentally kills like multiple of their allies in the training session,
it's,
right?
Casper Van Dien shoots his teammate through the head, and it's another one of those great like Paul Verhoeven jokes of the entire top of the guy's head flies off, and he's like, medic. What the fuck's the medic going to do? You need a dustpan and brush?
That's how I feel sometimes in Helldivers, when it's like,
so when you just cartwheeling through the air with no legs, and it's like, someone help me.
It's like, oh, quick, I've got no stims, someone stim me. It's like, I'm sorry, Lucas, you're just ahead.
And it's again, like, just, I don't understand how people think that film is anything but satirical. Like, one of the very first things you see is like the in-universe propaganda where they talk about how a convicted criminal caught this morning, sentenced this afternoon, his execution's live on TV tonight. And it's like, like, he's. But then again, it's not satirical. It's got, like, what is it, Luigi Mangione? Where, like,
there's
already a Netflix documentary of, like, the guilty man. It's like, wait, what? They caught this dude like yesterday.
I don't know how much cocaine those Netflix documentary makers are on, but it's a lot.
Also, as well, I can't wait for his fucking lawyer to stand up in court and be like, how is this guy meant to get a fair trial when there's Netflix documentaries with him in like red background saying the killer or the hunt for the killer or something like that with his face on it?
God.
So maybe it's not too unrealistic, but it was released in the, you know, the 90s.
Starship Troopers was, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Not to confuse people. Helldivers was not.
But literally, that's like one of the first things that happens in that film. People are like, yes, this looks like a good future I want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
But law and order no longer exist, and you have to have a license to get have a baby.
I have, like, caught my headphone wire in something.
Oh, no. That's
somewhere.
That's not very super citizen of you.
Oh, God, it's not. And I just to end on, I think that's a really funny note.
Yes.
Is that, like, to to become like a super citizen and get the super citizen armor,
which whips in a game,
which is cool as fuck. You had to pre-order it,
and no, like, one did because no fucking knew what Helldivers was,
including myself. Like, I'd heard about Helldivers, but I was like, okay, cool, yeah, like that sounds like a game that's going to come out. Didn't really have much of like a expectation or hype for it, hence why it's my nicest surprise of gaming. But yeah, it came out and it was like, well, oh, okay, you know, my partner works for PlayStation, they got a code, and that code included the pre-order bonus stuff. So when nobody owned the like, nobody pre-ordered the game, nobody expected much of this game before launch, and like nobody has that pre-order stuff. And then I rocked up not having pre-ordered the game, but getting given the pre-order stuff and was like, fuck yeah, I'm a super citizen.
And the best bit is, as much as I've played that game, I've never seen another super citizen.
I've never seen like any single player
and
use it, right?
To Arrowhead, because that must be one of the most requested things for them to release as DLC, because you know, in games like this, or games in general, people want the thing that says you're special. I remember the days of Halo 3, where the developers, Bungie, would get tweets every single fucking day, people begging for recon because they wanted to be special, which was the flaming helmet that you could get.
Yeah. And well, that was like, you had to like kill a Bungie team member or something like that, right?
Or just big features like Player of the Week. Or it could be gifted, like, you know, at a Bungie developer, like someone who works at Bungie's discretion. So obviously, you would bug them every day. It's like, here's a pro tip, you're not going to get it by asking for it. But it's like, yeah, the fact they've not released that as a thing. It's like, no, no, you are a super citizen because you believed in Helldivers, even though you technically didn't. But you are bestowed with the honorary title of super citizen because you believed.
I believed in the power of PlayStation.
You did. You believed in democracy.
I did. But yeah, it's just very funny that, like, I get to show off my nice, shiny pre-order bonus DLC without pre-ordering the game.
And everyone is super jealous of it. And the funniest bit as well, when you walk in, we always give you so much more leeway for, like, team kills. It's like, well, I'm sorry, super citizen.
It's like, well, after all, they are a super citizen. They must know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to lean into the role-play aspect of that too, right?
But we're not role-playing it in the sense of, like, we walk around, like, saying, yes, being a future super Nazi is fucking sick.
We're keenly aware
of the universe and how bad it looks, right?
I would hope so, that people understand that we understand after us talking about it for nearly 40 minutes. But, Carl, I think that that is a good place to end it, because I know we've talked about Helldivers before, but again, this was like, as I say, my little New Year treat to myself was,
why not?
Fuck it, I just get to talk about someone I really fucking liked last year.
Which was Helldivers. And yeah, we're just going to crack straight on with my wiki, or do you need to take a break?
Well, I'm going to say that we're going to take a break just so I've got an excuse to put shit face on the screen. And Carl, we are back from our lovely little break.
We are indeed, yes. So is it time for my wiki?
I guess so. I mean, like, just a quick mention that, yeah, I'll generally be trying to get back to my usual streaming schedule of streaming, like, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday nights, and Carl, I presume you're going to as well?
Yeah, but I am doing dry January for the month of January, in addition to no-carb January. Is it in preparation for Carbuary, which is where I'm going to be doing so many carbs in February?
That's fair.
It's basically, I've had a deal with myself of I would have a six-pack by the time I was 30, but my 30s happened during the pandemic. And then
so
I was,
you give yourself a little bit of extra leeway. Like,
I was 30 in the pandemic, and then 31 was the end of the pandemic. Then 32 was still the pandemic. And then 33, my girlfriend broke up with me. And then 34, my life fell apart a little bit. So, 33, that's this year. So 34 next year, February, that's my time. So if no carbs, let's go. Let's see what we can do.
Let's see what we can do indeed. But yeah, I'll try my best. I don't know what I'm going to be working week to week, but generally just keep an eye on, like, the Discord or whatever, and or just follow me on Twitch and whatnot, and you'll see, like, when I'm going live. But I'm generally just going to be trying to get back on my usual streaming stuff. I'm going to be starting Super Mario RPG Remake and hopefully try to be playing those on Mondays if I'm not working. I'm currently in the middle of starting a new Zelda because we finished Echoes of Wisdom just at the end of the year.
Yes.
So I'll be doing like a fan vote of another Zelda game to play, and I've only got a few Zelda games left on my list before I can officially say I've beaten every mainline Zelda game.
Yeah, and that's when people are going to start, oh, play the fucking CDI games. And you're like, no.
That's going to have to be like the extra super special Patreon bonuses. Like, give me 10 grand and I'll touch that game.
First thing, maybe we'll do it on the Wiki Weekends Gaming channel.
Yeah, that was me being just silly and facetious, of course. Like, there is a chance that we'll just do it at some point, but that is it's gonna take a lot for me to reach that breaking point, I think.
It will indeed, yes. But if that's all of the housekeeping we need to do, we can move on to my wiki now, which is inspired by something that dropped over the Christmas period, and that was the trailer for Superman.
Yeah.
And one particular aspect of that trailer has captured a lot of attention online. And that is the addition to the Superman live-action mythos of Superman's pet dog, Krypto.
Yeah.
So I thought, rather than cover Krypto, because I thought we can cover Krypto on a theoretical future episode where we've seen the Superman movie and can talk about Krypto's first foray into live-action. Unless, actually, no, he's been in, like, the Titan show.
I was going to ask, like, has Krypto been in anything else that you're aware of?
Because live-action
movie, live-action wise.
Yeah. He's in Titans, and it's not great because they couldn't afford the CGI budget for a flying dog, which actually makes it great because he flies by not moving, which actually looks hilarious because
great.
He doesn't move his legs when he flies. He's like, whoa.
Krypto was never in any of those, like, four Superman films back in the day or anything, no?
There might have been a nod to it, but I've not seen the Christopher Reeve Superman movies in
time. Right.
I thought we could just cover the Wikipedia entry on list of animal superheroes. So, Lucas, do you have a favourite animal superhero? There are many.
Off the top of my head, without thinking about it, I'd have to say Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon's a good animal superhero. But I do prefer my Ultimate Mal versus Capcom 3 Rocket Raccoon, where he's Cockney.
I mean, I never said which Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. No, I say, like, I know what people think, like, oh, the MCU version, but I do like the version where he's Cockney for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just where it's like it's like airstrike, suck ass. It's like, why is he cockney? What the fuck's that about?
Yeah, no, I like both versions. I like the both versions that I've consumed. I've never read a Guardians comic.
No one did.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is they were plucked out of like relative obscurity
as
for the MCU. Like they did have multiple different comic runs, I'm aware, before then. Like, that's why Rocket Raccoon was in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah,
but like, they did exist, but yeah.
It's why James Gunn picked them, because one of the things James Gunn has done with his superhero shows and his, like, the media that he's been in charge of is, well, I'm just going to pick the weird shit, because people have already seen all the people, like, in Superman, people have seen Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor's in, of course. And what's the fact, Lucas, that I told you that I am just obsessed with about Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor? Remember? It's that he's the baldest that anyone's ever been.
Didn't they shave his head but then put a bald cap on his shaved head to make him super bald?
Yeah, he's the baldest anyone has ever been. But in addition to that, he's also got in, like, Mr. Terrific, Krypto. He's got Guy Gardner with the comic accurate shit-ass bald cut. I think it's Mr. Terrific. He's like the guy with the big T on his face. I don't know who that dude
is. I'm really glad that James Gunn is, like, pulling some more obscure stuff out of his ass, like Superman.
Was every season like Creature Commandos?
The guy needs a break, right?
I think he brought Blight from, like, the Batman of the Future series. And was, like, the gif going around of, like, he's fighting a tank and he just puts a middle finger up and walks through it. Because he's fucking, like, nuclear reactive and he can walk through tanks.
It's one of those, right, of, like, he's doing both. Of he's starting off the DC Universe with Creature fucking Commandos. And it's like, who the fuck are they? And hopefully that'll be good. I've not seen it yet, but...
It's really
then also
well. Yeah.
Balancing it out by using fucking Superman.
But it is weird that people are like, well, who are these goobers? Like, people said that about the Guardians. People said, who the fuck is Groot? I remember when Guardians of the Galaxy got announced, and there were, like, news articles about the latest MCU movie stars a talking tree who says three words and a raccoon with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up being some of the most beloved characters in that franchise.
Exactly right.
And I'm sure you can do the same with all these weird, obscure characters introducing for the new DC
anything,
stuff.
Anything, I think that I feel more that kind of vibe is a safer bet with James Gunn. I'm more thinking that, like, Superman looks like a bit of a risky bet because it seems like there's so much going on in that movie trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it feels like they've put like a trilogy's worth of things in that one movie.
But at the same time, like a lot happens in those Guardians of the Galaxy movies. A lot of like stuff they introduce. Like they introduced 5 characters in Guardians of the Galaxy.
You've got to just right now. I think James Gunn has earned that little bit of leeway where you've just got to put your faith in that he can do it right because he's proven himself time and time again.
He's got a very good track record. Yeah, not to mention as well the idea of like, well, if you put the Joker in, we're going to be like, well, we're comparing it to the dozen other Joker performances.
Mm-hmm.
If he puts in fucking Guy Gardner.
Yeah, we've never seen anyone else with that bad a haircut in the DC films.
Never, right? If he puts in Crypto the Superdog, no one's comparing it. And the thing is, well, everyone loves Crypto. Like, even Zack Snyder's like, I can't wait to see this fucking movie.
And the edgiest of edgelords can't wait for Crypto. He's just...
You just can't wait.
You've got to just be happy when you see him, right?
You have, yes. In that vein, I have you put me on the list of animal superheroes. So animal superheroes are fictional, non-human animals that fit the narrative role of a hero in superhero-related fiction, typically possessing superpowers, though not always, that they use to improve the world, protect the public, or fight crime. And the first couple here listed, there's no, like, there's only a brief description of, and it includes the name, the animal, the publisher, a brief description, and then the reference to the first comic they appeared.
Well, Carl, I do want to change my answer.
To?
The fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, oddly enough, yeah, they're listed, so they're down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I forgot about them. I forgot that they were classed as animals to begin with.
I thought you were going to say I forgot they were heroes. It's like it's literally in the title.
Well, for us it was.
It was, yeah. I'm glad you got that reference, because Americans hate when you say that, the Teenage Mutant Hero... Oh, so Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
I fucking hate when we say the Hero Turtles.
People act like that's not what they called them. And it's like, they fucking did.
They did over here, yeah. But in the UK, I can't even remember because, like, just it's so much catchy to be like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But when it's like, I admit Ninja Turtles is a way catchier title, but they were billed as the Hero Turtles in the UK. But, so the first one here is Ace the Bat-Hound, and he is the pet dog and sidekick of Batman. And Ace the Bat-Hound is fucking sick.
I don't think I've ever heard of Ace the Bat-Hound.
Well, he doesn't appear in much. But he does appear in Batman of the Future, or Batman of Beyond, depending on which mag you're in.
Well, I've clearly just not watched that in a long time and forgotten about him then, yeah.
And the episode focused on Ace is so fucking good, because it talks about how he was like in a dog fighting ring and Batman rescued him.
Hmm.
And because he rescued him, like, he becomes like Batman's like best man. And there's a great bit where, like, Terry McGinnis is trying to walk him. He's trying to, like, what, and Ace, like, I don't like you, you're not Batman. But then, Ace and Terry team up to fight a giant mutant dog.
Oh, excellent.
It's like,
and then they bond together, right?
Yeah. It's a great episode. Because you have Batman kicking the fuck out of someone, and all he says is, because Ace gets kidnapped. So you have Batman going full John Wick, going, where the fuck is my dog?
Yeah, because, like, Batman Beyond / Batman of the Future is really hard to find, like, on any streaming or anything,
it's
I believe.
Really even though it's one of the best shows DC have ever done.
I watched the absolute crap out of it when it was airing as a kid. Like, I watched that on loop with the animated series, but, like, I just haven't remembered much of it because it's so difficult to track down.
It really is, but it's a really great show, and that episode's fantastic. So I said, you have Bruce Wayne using the full resources of the Wayne Empire to get his fucking dog back. Just like, that's the thing, like, the whole plot about John Wick, isn't it? Like, well, John Wick is the deadliest, most dangerous assassin who's ever lived, and you broke into his house and you killed his dog.
Yeah.
Are you a fucking idiot? And it's like...
You fool.
Wait, you kidnapped Batman's dog? This is Batman's dog? Have you any idea? Batman beat up Superman once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I can't wait till we get to the part in the list. So I talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now I'm just remembering, like, all the shit rip-offs of, like, the Street Sharks and Biker Mice from Mars.
Biker Mice from Mars is the worst one, because they even nicked, like, the naming convention. But, you know, they continue with the Beasts of Burden, and they are from Dark Horse Comics, and they are a dog superhero team.
Ooh.
And they're just dogs who solve crimes.
Are they, like, what is it, like, the Paw Patrol or whatever?
Well, they look pretty hardcore, to be honest.
Well, the Dark Horse version of them, obviously. Yeah.
Like, here's the cover of the first comic, and it's called Grave Happenings, and it's like eight different dogs looking at a skeleton, like, what the fuck's going on? So you know what I'm all in?
Right.
We go on to Beppo. He's a monkey from DC Comics, and he's a monkey from the planet Krypton with Superman's powers.
Well, Beppo is also a martial arts polar bear from One Piece.
Oh, there we go. Maybe that's a... That's a good pull. Yeah, Beppo's from the period in like DC history when they were weirdly obsessed with apes. And there's a really weird story. I think we covered it on Fact Fiend once about at some point in DC's history, they had like eight issues on the bounce where the main villain was a giant monkey because they realized that anytime
like
they had
gorilla
a monkey or gorilla,
and all that.
Yeah, anytime they put a gorilla on the front, their issues sold better and they couldn't explain why besides maybe people just like gorillas. So they just had a glut of gorilla-based supervillains and superheroes that fought Superman.
I mean, they're not wrong. Like, if you combine just like the appeal of Planet of the Apes, King Kong, and Donkey Kong combined, just those three apes alone, like they've sold a lot of shit.
They have sold a lot of tickets, yes. And like, you know, I'm one of the people who bought those tickets. I love gorillas. Not one of my favorite movies. I watch it every Christmas. Watch it this Christmas is Mighty Joe Young. Love that movie. Just about a big ass.
I'm unaware of Mighty Joe Young.
It's just a big ass fucking gorilla. It was ape shit. Literally, it's great. Then we move on to Captain Carrot, who's a rabbit from DC Comics with the powers of Superman. So put that in, James Gunn. Fucking coward. Give us Captain Carrot.
I actually believe that someone like James Gunn could do that, though.
He probably would, yeah. We got Chip, a squirrel from DC Comics, and he's a member of the Green Lantern Corps. He's a squirrel-like alien, at least.
Yeah.
Kong Gorilla. A gorilla, a human transformed into a super-powered gorilla.
Oh, he's also known as Kongo Bill. They're not actually a gorilla, but they're a human that got turned into one.
Cosmo the Space Dog. That's so, speaking of James Gunn.
You like Cosmo, yeah.
Do you know what I think as well? Do you know what you always have? Those weird shithead, like shit stirrers on YouTube who moan when they change some aspects of a character, like they change the gender or the race. If it's incidental to the character to make them have like a more interesting like backstory or whatever. James Gunn did that with Cosmo and no one gave a fuck.
Yeah, because no one really knew who Cosmo was, right?
Yep. Cosmo was originally in the comics a male dog. Mm-hmm. James Gunn changed them to be a female dog because they were created as a reference to Laika, the first dog in space, who was a female. And he thought, well, it makes more sense than if it's a reference to Laika, the dog should be female.
I can't remember whether it was a male or female dog in the Guardians of the Galaxy game, but that's another version of Cosmo and Rocket that are also good. Like, that game is, mechanically, gameplay-wise, pretty simple, but like genuinely really good takes on those characters and that story.
Yes. And it's worth noting as well in the MCU that Cosmo is voiced by Maria Bakalova. And that is, if anyone unfamiliar or recognising the name and don't know from where from, that's Borat's daughter in the second Borat movie.
Who was excellent in
that
movie, yeah.
Carried the movie on the shoulders, yeah. We move on to Detective Chimp, a highly intelligent chimpanzee detective from DC Comics who occasionally teams up with Batman.
And I love that it's DC Detective Chimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Marvel not to be outdone, they've got Devil Dinosaur. Who's a giant red dinosaur.
That's the one great that teams up with, like, the moon girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked really cool when I saw them in Marvel Snap.
Here's one. It appeared recently, actually. Dogpool, an alternate universe version of Deadpool.
Dogpool was great.
Dogpool, like, just that movie was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie. I did like all the Deadpool variants. Like, a lot of them were played by just people that Ryan Reynolds kind of knows. Like, there's one of the players from that football team he co-owns was in there.
I found out as well, like, I thought that maybe, I don't know, like, how much, whether it was intentional or not, but there was obviously, like, there's, like, the Scottish Deadpool and the Welsh Deadpool, and the Welsh Deadpool was called Welshpool, which is a place of a, like, it's a town name in England. And I was like, I wonder whether they, like, specifically put in Welshpool as, like, a little joke towards the town name.
They might have done.
But, you never know. Like, Ryan Reynolds has been spending a lot of time with Rob McElhenney over in the UK since they bought Wrexham, right?
Yeah, as I said, one of the players plays one. I think they do play Welshpool, so maybe it's a reference to where they're from.
Maybe, yeah.
But either way, we move on to Donatello. He's a turtle, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, to be precise, from Mirage Studios, and he's one of the main characters of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle franchise. And is Donatello your favourite turtle? Or are you a Michelangelo man? Donatello's mine, so you have to the stick.
Purple.
Yeah.
Purple's my favourite colour. So Donatello was my favourite. And also, it was like, and also he's the geeky techie one, so I vibed with that. And also, like, the bow staff is cool. Yeah. My favourite weapon was always the nunchucks, but I don't like Mikey as much.
Yeah, he was a bit annoying to me, but he was the one who was designed to be appealing to kids, and I was like, no, I'm Donatello. But then again, Raphael, they're all cool in their own way.
They're all cool, right, apart from Leonardo.
Oh, he's just a bit too much of a straight edge, right?
Someone's got to be the straight man, and Leonardo does a good job at being that straight man. He's got a katana, which is cool.
He's not Gorilla Man, and he is a superhero gorilla from the 1950s.
Oh.
From DC Comics. Told you
I like how we've got a man that's a gorilla and a gorilla that's a man.
Lucas, they had a lot of gorilla-themed superheroes.
I know that obviously that they are like our closest equivalents in nature, right?
Yeah.
So there is that level of like fascination, but comic books have done gorillas and apes so much.
Well, they do. I said it's just a fascination that people have with just giant apes. It's like it's a subgenre unto itself. We move on from that from Hellcow. And this is one where it's just the backstory is all you need to know, Lucas. And do you know the backstory to Hellcow?
I don't think I do.
It was a cow that was bitten by Dracula. So it's just a vampire cow.
Oh, that kind of gives me like flashbacks to that excellent episode of The Boys with just like the sheep that are like the murder sheep flying around.
Then we have here, Lucas, Hitmonkey. Must have seen something about Hitmonkey.
Oh, that's the assassin monkey that had like the animated show on just Disney Plus, right?
Japanese macaque, who's a Japanese monkey that works as an assassin. And just as well, the picture of like Hitmonkey they've got here is just a gun. Fucking, he's dressed like Agent 47 with the dual ballers.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Is like, is a monkey version of Agent 47.
We have here Howard the Duck. And I don't like Howard the Duck, but I'll give him props for managing to like bang it was in Outplays, Darcy in Kat Dennings. You know what? He pulled Kat Dennings, so I'll give him that.
Wait, what? What's going on here?
There's a What If episode where it's What If Kat Dennings banged Howard the Duck.
That would be excellent if that was the episode
it's
name.
Not, that's not the title. And it also, as well, they have a daughter who's like an original What If character, and they've got the most annoying fucking voice.
Oh, and I've not seen that episode. I've only watched like the first episode of like season two. That's as far as I got.
Like, as well, it's one of those things where you can instantly tell that the character that they've got is like, this is a character they're going to try and put in front of fucking everything.
And it's Seth Rogen that's playing Howard the Duck in the MCU, right?
Seth Green.
Oh, Seth Green. Okay.
No, but I don't think Seth Green could pull Kat Dennings.
I was like thinking, oh, they're probably just going to let Seth Rogen get away with doing whatever he fucking wants because he's Seth Rogen, but Seth Green maybe has a little less pull and a little less game as well. A little probably less riz.
Now we have here Jenica, and she's one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She's like the fifth turtle they try to introduce.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm unaware of this.
And then finally, Crypto! Crypto! The dog. The pet dog and psychic of Superman. It was all that he drags Superman away by his fucking cape, and you know Superman's face is grinding on the floor.
I don't know much about Crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any like details there about Crypto?
Just that he has like, you know, similar powers to that of Superman.
Is he like a Kryptonian dog?
It depends. So some versions that he's a dog that was experimented on with Superman DNA, see if they can implant Superman DNA into an animal. Some of them he comes from Krypton, some of them he's just like Superman's regular dog. That's where you get like the amazing thing of when Superman meets him where he's holding his cape and it's just Superman pointing like, take that off, it doesn't fit. And he's just Krypton like.
Because obviously, I know that we could just click on a wiki, but let us know in the comments like what kind of like the original idea behind Crypto the Superdog was. Was he Superman's like pet family dog from Krypton that got sent to him or something?
Yeah,
let us know.
It depends, like it, with that universe getting rebooted as many times it has.
Well, I'm more curious as to like what the actual comic book origins of Crypto originally were.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we could click on a wiki link, but sometimes it's fun to try and get you all involved. So, you know, I'm trying.
You can click on the wiki link instead of us. So we have Leonardo, yes. Not much to say about him, just yeah.
He's got a katana, and katanas are always cool.
Yeah. Lockjaw, another dog, an inhuman bulldog with teleportation powers, who basically created that Inhuman show.
Cause, I was going to say teleported out of the show because of the budget,
they had
right?
to teleport him out of the show because every second he was on screen was costing them money they didn't have.
Because he's a giant dog, so every single shot was like really expensive VFX work, right?
All they had to do is just say he's not giant anymore. I appreciate them trying to be comic accurate, but you can change some things.
You could, as a first episode, like, encounter some bad guy that could shrink him down or some bollocks, right? Yeah.
Or just say he's a puppy.
Yeah.
Get him as a puppy and say he'll grow big, and I can grow big in the last episode, because you know that shit's getting cancelled, right? Michelangelo. Anything to say about Michelangelo? He's cool with his nunchucks and his cowabunga dude.
Again, he's the, like, more kid-friendly one, and I definitely did like him way more as an actual child, but kind of quickly grew out of finding that, like, hey, it's Peter Tam character, like, the enjoyable one. It's like, very quickly just didn't like him and Leonardo as much and preferred Raph and Donatello.
Yeah, we have here Miyamoto Usagi, and he's from Dark Horse Comics, and he's a rabbit ronin.
Ooh, that's cool.
Old Lace, a dinosaur from Marvel Comics, and it's the partner of Gertrude Yorks. I'm not sure who Gertrude Yorks is, so she has an alternate name. She is Arsenic, a fictional Marvel superhero from The Runaways.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with The Runaways. I don't think many people are.
Not many people are, no. But she's got a pet dinosaur, which is pretty cool.
That's right, yeah.
Raphael. Anything to say about Raphael?
Raphael's the one that, as a kid, I always assumed was the leader.
Because he's the one who always takes charge, right?
Yeah, right. It's like Leonardo's kind of there, like, hey guys, I think I've got a plan. And Raphael's just already in the mix, like stabbing people with Psy. Like, let's go.
Yeah. We have here Rex the Wonder Dog, who is a now forgotten DC Comics character it mentions here, because he's often confused with Crypto the Superdog, even though he's a different character and he was invented 3 years earlier. But he kind of got overshadowed by Crypto.
Right.
So there's not much to say besides he's a white shepherd dog that was a friend with Superman for a little bit. Which means it makes you think that he died and they replaced him, right?
That's a similar looking
dog.
I am a bit confused because, like, in the trailer, like, I don't know what breed of dog.
Fucking adorable, is that's in that what trailer.
It is adorable, that is the breed, but I always thought that Crypto was some kind of like a lab or something, or golden retriever, something like that.
I think it like varies between interpretations.
Yeah, it must do. And, like, I again, not that familiar with Crypto. A lot of my DC comic book reading of actual comics has been, like, all Batman skewed, so...
Yeah.
Superman always seemed a little bit more boring to me, and I know that Superman fans hate that, but, like, Batman was always the cool one that I wanted to read comic books of.
Exactly,
so, like, I've read a lot of, like, wider variety of Marvel comics, and DC-wise, I'm mainly focused a lot on Batman.
But the specific kind of dog breed that Crypto is varies between interpretations. Then we move on to Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
Just with his big gun.
It's the fact Bradley Cooper's coming in.
He is. You know what? He's all right. I just prefer Cockney Rocket Raccoon. Why?
Cockit Raccoon.
There it is. That's the one. That's it. Done. Yeah. Let's move on. Spider-Ham. Alternate universe version of Spider-Man, who's just an anthropomorphic pig.
I mean, I don't know much about Spider-Man outside of in Spider-Verse, and he was an excellent, like, tiny little addition. He was in it just the right amount,
just
right?
Just, like, that could have been so much more fucking annoying, right? Same like Spider-Man Noir of, like, I'm glad they only let Nicolas Cage be in it for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad that each one of those got, like, 5 minutes to shine. Of, like, there's just a couple of jokes, like, the joke at the end with Spider-Man Noir, where he's like, I'm going to take this, and it's a Rubik's Cube. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you go, Spider-Man Noir.
Streaky the Supercat, the pet cat of Supergirl. Nothing more he said about Streaky the Supercat.
No.
Because they came from Action Comics in the 1960s, and they've not really been in anything since. But he mentions that they're a cat who, through exposure, they gain powers through exposure to kryptonite. They can fly, have invulnerability, and enhanced vision.
You know what I am upset about, though?
Is that?
That means this wiki is missing out Spider-Man.
Well, I guess he's not an animal-themed superhero.
No. I'm talking about Spider-Man from the video game Miles Morales, where it's the cat from the bodega, and he just named his cat Spider-Man.
Well, he doesn't have superpowers.
The cat, no, it doesn't have superpowers, but it does have superpowers in my heart, Carl.
Yeah.
Because, like, just that outfit that you unlock where you get, like, the bodega cat suit, and every now and then it just comes out and does an attack with Miles. I'm like, you go, Spider-Man.
You go, Spider-Cat. But we've got some other Super Turtle, a superhero turtle inspired by Superman.
Oh, okay. Just a turtle
version
of Superman.
There's a lot of animals with Superman power. Can you see that in, like, the 60s, like, DC, like, what we got? Superman, no, make give
got
something.
Superman, double down on Superman.
Give something else Superman powers. We have Topo, who is in DC Comics, and that is the octopus sidekick of Aquaman.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what do you think referencing the boys Dispo. Is too? Can you imagine, if you had Dispo, the fucking Turbo Rabbit.
The Turbo Rabbit from Dragon Ball.
Light speed, fucking dash, let's go. And then finally, in regards to comic books, we have Zabu. That's a saber-toothed tiger from the Savage Lands and the partner of Kazaa. And he's just a Marvel character who's just, like, you know, not been in much.
Yeah.
And we have some animation based super animals, Lucas. Any of those stick out? There's only, like, three or four that are, like, worth mentioning. One of them is Hong
the
Kong.
The fuck are the bike mice from Mars?
They might be not even mentioned because they fucking suck.
I really liked the bike mice from Mars as a
just
kid.
Just how edgy they were, right? And they were such an obvious rip-off.
It was such an easy sell to me as a kid. I'm like, do you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Do you think motorbikes look cool? Well, here you go.
Yeah. But, like, one of the ones worth mentioning is Hong Kong Fui. Just like, yeah, Hong Kong Fui, the racist Asian dog. Let's go.
Hong Kong Fui? What was that from?
He was a dog who did Hong Kong, right, who did Kung Fu, called Hong Kong Fui. And all he did is just, like, do karate chops while making Asian sounding noises and screams.
Was it, like, a Cartoon Network show or something?
It was a Cartoon Network show. It probably aired on Cartoon Network.
Hong Kong Fui. I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
dipshit.
Yeah. Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. Just leaning into all them stereotypes.
We have Darkwing Duck. Duck. Where Disney's like, fuck it, we're going to make a duck Batman.
We're just going to make Donald Duck plus Batman. Yeah. It was excellent. I thought Darkwing Duck was great.
See, so there's something that aren't mentioned but would be worth mentioning, because they have Mighty Mouse mentioned, who's an American animated character for Terry Toons, who's an animated mouse superpowers, but not fucking Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse isn't mentioned?
Danger Mouse is not on this list, but Mighty Mouse is, and Danger Mouse, for any Americans
Danger
watching.
Danger Mouse is like Mighty Mouse is just superior, right? As far as I've never watched either of them, but I'm aware way more of Danger Mouse.
He's Mouse James Bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that same thing, Rasta Mouse. Saving the day through the power of Rastafarian music, and he's a mouse.
Rasta Mouse?
Rasta Mouse. You don't know nothing about no Rasta Mouse.
Like, how many different just superhero animals are based on just racial stereotypes?
Oh, quite a lot. Well, that's the thing about Rasta Mouse, though, because I think it was voiced by.
Yeah, I do remember Rasta Mouse. Yeah. 2011.
Yeah, I used to watch it when I was in uni.
That's why you remember it more, though, because that's more around your sister's age, right?
No, I watched it when I was in university. Me and my housemate used to get drunk and watch Rasta Mouse. It's great. We've got to find out who did the voice of Rasta Mouse, because it is someone famous.
Let's have a look.
Because I know that the voice of Danger Mouse was David Jason.
Covered up the podcast 1 second. I apologize. Yeah.
It was David Jason who was the voice of Danger Mouse.
Rasta Mouse and Various is Reggie Yates.
That's it, yeah, Reggie Yates. So he's mostly known now for his documentarian. Does a lot of human interest stuff, largely revolving around like men's culture and subcultures. Like, he did a lot on like incels and stuff like that. Of like, there's like ones where it's like, okay, let's just go talk to these fucking weirdos and see if we can see what makes them tick. But he was the voice of like Rasta Mouse. Then Rasta Mouse got like accused of being this racial stereotype. And Reggie Yates, like, well, that's how people I know talk, because Reggie Yates, for context, is black.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I think he based it on like his dad or an uncle or something like that. It's like, some people just talk like that.
And he's like, I guess I based it on the racial stereotype that I know who exists.
But I remember when they tried to, it was pre the term cancelling, but they tried to like get Rasta Mouse off the air, and you could tell in character on like the Facebook page, Rastamouse, like, Rastamouse, be sorry, I'm not trying to cause not trying to cause any harmony. Just want to make everyone happy with this thing. Like, he's written in like Jamaican like patois. Mm-hmm. Like phonetically, and just all the comments are from like people you can clearly tell, like adults and students, like, we love you, Rastamouse. Just walk one, Rastamouse, let's go. Oh, we went out to live action, and there's a couple of live action superhero animals, Lucas. Do you want to think of what the most famous one would be? Most famous live action superhero animal.
I mean, am I missing
fucking
something?
Big.
Oh, King Kong.
Godzilla.
He's not an animal.
Oh, he's a radioactive kaiju. He's a radioactive dinosaur, at least. And Godzilla counts, he has superpowers. King Kong doesn't have superpowers.
Yes, he does. Super size.
Yeah, but that's not a superpower, he's just a
that's
giant.
That's a superpower in my eyes.
He's not a superpower, because otherwise on this thing you would also have
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, he'd be on there as well. But it's like Clifford's not got superpowers, he's just big. Being big is not a superpower. He's
yes,
just big.
It is. Being big is a superpower.
No, he's not, it's just they loved him so much.
No, that's why I mean, for King Kong's sake.
Well, King Kong is big because the gorillas on his island are big. It's like saying...
Well, that's a superpower.
It's like saying the T-Rex from Jurassic Park's a superhero. It's like, it's a fucking T-Rex. He's a gorilla from a universe where gorillas are just really big.
Didn't say he was a superhero, just said he was superpowered.
He ain't got no superpowers, he's just fucking big.
Super size is a superpower.
Take it up with Wikipedia. The live action one mentioned is Rocket, but the live action version, Alligator Loki.
Yeah, for if someone said to me, like I know it is, but if someone said to me, what is Godzilla? My first reaction wouldn't be an animal.
Yeah, but I guess he is. It depends.
It's its own distinct thing, right?
Yeah,
it's a kaiju. Like.
And whether or not Godzilla is an animal depends on which movie you're watching, because some movies Godzilla is just an animal. Other movies, Godzilla is more metaphorical, like a more force of nature, more like just the living embodiment of destruction and chaos.
It also depends like what version of it you watch, whether they do or do not have superpowers, because Zilla does not have superpowers.
No, but Godzilla does. And like I think the latest on Godzilla versus Kong. Like, Godzilla straight up knows fucking wrestling moves now and suplexes King Kong.
If anyone should be suplexing anyone in that scenario, it's King Kong.
And then, Lucas, finally we have video games. And they all come from... I'm going to give you a clue. All these superheroes hail from the same series.
Crash Bandicoot.
No. Crash Bandicoot don't have superpowers.
He does.
That's the thing, all Ace the Bat Hound doesn't have superpowers. But, yeah, Crash Bandicoot's not mentioned. But Knuckles the Echidna, Sonic the Hedgehog... Shadow the Hedgehog and Tails all are.
Hang on, are you telling me they haven't listed Aerobat?
No. I feel like this list might be incomplete because Crash Bandicoot
should... It's definitely incomplete.
Because Crash Bandicoot is a bandicoot. With...
Yeah.
I'd say Crash Bandicoot has fucking superpowers. He can jump like 80 feet into the air.
If fucking Shadow the Hedgehog classifies as a genetically modified hedgehog, then Crash Bandicoot...
The list is not complete. I'd put fucking Crash Bandicoot on there. Crash Bandicoot is an animal superhero hailing from video games.
He's got superpowers compared to what a bandicoot has.
Yeah. It's like, technically, I think the Tasmanian Devil should be on here as well.
Also, like, Crash gets unlocked, like, fucking gliding via spinning and shit like that. Like, those are superpowers.
And a rocket launcher.
Well, that's more just a power.
But he pulls out his back pocket. That's like...
That's true. That's like dimension manipulation, right?
It's got to be somewhere there, right? Yeah, I feel like this list isn't as complete as it should be. So, yeah, get on it. I know, like, the
Banjo Kazooie.
Yeah. Ukulele.
Like, again, like, Gex. Their base form.
Where's Gex?
Where's Croc, the legend of the goblins?
Yeah, where's Gex, the sexually harassing lizard? One day we need to do a wiki video on just forgotten shit ass mascots. For games.
Where's Conker?
So we could talk about Gex.
Fucking Gex. And the best part is, every single one of them, apart from Conker's, getting like remastered, and Conker's just there like, what about my outdated references though?
What about my outdated, potentially racist references? Like, nah, we're not going through that fucking script.
The one thing that I will say has, like, I think, held up in a very stupid way is just like, I am the great mighty Pooh, and I'm going to throw my shit at you.
Because that's just timeless. Right? That's something James Gunn put in one of his movies. Get James Gunn to remake Conker and we'll talk.
Like, that, 100%, I'm like, I'm down for that level of stupid humour, and then you have to, like, throw toilet paper rolls at the giant shit that's singing opera.
Well, you know, that is like, the opposite of Pooh, right? The opposite of Pooh is toilet roll.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's how you stop the poo.
It is.
But, like, I'm down for that. But when it's, like, Conker dual-wielding Uzis in, like, a trench coat doing Matrix references, I'm like, oh. It's got very similar vibes to, like, a better-done version of Gex, right?
Yeah, which is referencing James Bond. Just
references and references, right?
References for references' sake.
And that was very much the Conker's Bad Fur Day, but what about Echo the Dolphin?
Echo the Dolphin not have superpowers. Echo the Dolphin is like a victim.
Echolocation is a superpower.
It's not a superpower.
Maybe not to a dolphin.
Yeah, but it's more like Echo's just trapped in this nightmare dolphin dimension. I don't want to fucking go there. I don't want to deal with that. No one wants to go to the Echo the Dolphin nightmare dolphin dimension.
I would be genuinely curious if we did like just another I can't even remember what did we call the series where we replay old games?
Oh, Rough on Replay.
Rough on Replay. I want to see whether Echo the Dolphin is Rough on a Replay.
I tried every time, like, my friend has one of those retro gaming things that's got like a billion games on it.
Every now and again,
I'll try playing like old games that I like half remember. I put Echo the Dolphin on for 30 seconds and went, nah, it's too real.
I'm pretty sure Echo the Dolphin is like on the Nintendo Switch Online Genesis games.
I think it was the moment where like all the dolphins got sucked into the sky and I went, nah, it's too real.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I don't. It's too weird. I don't like it.
It's been a long time since I've played Echo the Dolphin and you're telling me there's aliens involved?
There's aliens in like the first 5 minutes.
I don't remember any the opening of the game. A dolphin.
Yeah, the opening of the game is the moment you get past the training area, which is a nightmare to try and get out of. The moment you get out of that, all the dolphins, your dolphin friends disappear and get dragged into space.
As far as I'm concerned, playing Echo the Dolphin as a child, I went, oh, there's a dolphin. And I probably got stuck in the tutorial just like I did with Driver.
Everyone did. Do a J-turn.
Yeah. Do what the fuck's a J-turn?
Yeah.
Just do one. Do one.
Fuck it, do it. Driver.
Slalom. I'm 6 years old. Yeah, I don't know what the word slalom means. Yeah.
Some people talk about games are too hand-holdy now. It's like, would you prefer this? Is this what you want? Is this what you want?
J-turn. Slalom. U-turn. I don't know what these words are, PlayStation. I am six.
Yeah,
that's as far as I ever got with Driver. No one left that garage. I dare you to tell me otherwise.
They didn't make a game outside that garage. That's why they made it so difficult. That's the end of the list. Just it ends as all things do with Sonic.
Yeah, like as all life ends.
Just the
with
beginning,
Sonic.
The beginning, the middle, the end, the Alpha,
Did
and the Omega.
Did he even have Shadow the Hedgehog in there?
Shadow the Hedgehog's on there, yeah.
What about Big the Cat?
Big the Cat's, I don't know. Lucas, the list is incomplete.
Where the fuck's Big the Cat?
I don't know. Fishing, probably.
Where's Rouge the Bat?
In a shit game. I don't know.
You leave Sonic Adventure 2 out of this.
Yes, that's the list of animal superheroes, and this is the final video myself and Lucas have recorded of 2024, but the first of 2025.
Hell yeah. Not for us. We're going to go now quickly celebrate New Year's while we've still got some of the evening left.
We do indeed, yes. Yeah. So thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll see you all in the new year. And just, yeah, check out the links below to follow us, find us, continue the discussion, all that good stuff.
Hell, goddamn, yeah. Thank you all for joining.
And thank you for supporting us throughout 2024.
I float away into space to end the video.